I don't know if y'all been to an urgent care. Go check it out. It's fun. I like it in there. There's a, you know, it's better than a real doctor. I think there's no ego at an urgent care. That's what's fun, you know? You go to a doctor's office, they talk down to you, right? Diplomas on the wall. They're like, I went to school. I know everything. Urgent care is like, do you have $40? Let's figure this out together. We don't know any more than you, you know? Let's put our heads in a room and let's tackle this sinus infection as a team. And that's fun. You know how you fill out all your info in the lobby on like a clipboard and then they take you to another room and act like you never did that? So the nurse comes in, we're face to face. She's asking me questions. She goes, what are you in for? I said, my nose is clogged. She said, you been taking anything? I said, just Sudafed. And she goes, oh, can you spell that for me? I was like, Sudafed? I maybe could. I would like you to take a stab at it, though, right? Feels like something you should know. I know y'all share a lease with a T-Mobile store, but this feels like day one stuff, honestly. Look, I've been taking ibuprofen as well, so maybe I sounded that one out.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
But the other thing I think about is that my children, even though they love books now, they will never have the joy of Encyclopedia Britannica, holding one of those and flipping through it and, you know, I don't know, coming upon a naked...
Yeah, you can't browse for anything anymore.
No, yeah.
You have to, like, look for something specific.
Yeah. That's it.
It's so funny you mentioned that. My wife's cousin, I was just talking to him, and he told me that his kid was watching a TV show on his tablet or something, and a commercial came on, and he thought it was broken. He was like, well, something's wrong.
Right.
It's not exactly what I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, it's just so different.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
2:30 in the morning!
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Notice I had to take 5 breaths to get that out. This never-ending sinus infection never ends. There you go. It just keeps on coming. But I did feel a little bit better.
Good.
Not that you asked, but I feel a little bit better.
I asked you.
You don't ask me anything. You don't care. You don't care about me. You don't care. No one cares. No one cares. Except for the listeners. They write in. Hope you die. Hope Brian feels better. Where's Astrid?
Yes.
Yes. Everybody loves the ladies of the show, but I am not the most loved part of this show. I will share that right now. Fine. You get no episodes of The Commercial Break. None. I take it off air. How's that? TCB Infomercial Tuesday with Aaron Weber.
Woo!
Aaron Weber, an up-and-coming comic from the Nashville comedy scene. The Nashville comedy scene is quite the scene, apparently.
It is. It's exploding.
I'll share with you in a minute what's going on at the Nashville Comedy Festival, which is right around the corner in just a couple weeks in April. So if you're out there, it's quite a big deal. And quite a few comics who have been on this show are going to be in Nashville at some point during the comedy festival doing it, including our very first ever celebrity guest, Veer Das, who's doing like 6 different shows at the Nashville Comedy Festival.
That's amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Good for Veer. He's doing zanies. Good for Veer.
Good for Veer.
Yeah.
Poor Veer.
Poor Veer.
Poor Veer in the fact that he was our first interview.
He was our first interview, and it could not have he could not have been nicer, sitting in the floor of his hotel room, hugging onto a pillow, hoping that this never gets anywhere outside the bounds of the TCB RSS feed. So Aaron Weber is a up-and-coming comic. He is one of the co-hosts of Nateland, the podcast Nateland, with Nate Bargatze, who is, of course, probably the biggest comedian in the world right now. Mm-hmm. I would say him, Sebastian Maniscalco, and some others who are just selling out theater after theater, room after room. No, Nate Bargatze is selling out arenas. Excuse me. Let me put it that
arenas.
Way. As is Sebastian.
That's amazing.
Arenas.
Wow.
He's coming here, and we wanted to get tickets. I was like, after we watched his special, Astrid and I were really impressed. He was really funny. at first, it was a little for me. I'm just sharing my personal opinion. It was a little slow. I was like, oh, this he's a little slow and plodding. But it didn't take long before I turned a corner and I was like, this is on purpose and this is really funny. Yeah. Like, he is, that is his brand of comedy. He knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. He knows how to work a room, even when that room is 12,000 people. So I say to Astrid, let's go. We enjoyed his special. And now I've watched all of his specials. And I said, let's go. But the tickets are like $300 or $400 because it's sold out and you can only get them on the secondary market, which is just insane when you think about it, that a comedian is selling out 12, 13, 14, 15,000 seats in a night, multiple nights in a row. That's insane. We couldn't sell out Dania Point, which is like 13 or 14 seats in a row.
I know. It is amazing to think about, though, because when I think of comedians being on stage, I think about going to a comedy club and watching, or a theater, something like that.
Yeah, maybe the Tabernacle or the Fox.
Arena.
An arena. Like the place where he's playing here, which is State Farm Arena.
It's huge.
It holds like 22,000 people, 18,000, 20,000 people, depending on how it's set up. And he's sold it out. And I think there's two nights, if I'm not mistaken. That's insane that 40,000 people here in Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken about the second show, 40,000 people here in Atlanta are going to go see Nate. That's a deal. That's a vibe. That's a scene. That's a thing. And Aaron is one of the comics that Nate has taken under his wing. He's part of the crew. Nate is starting this like incubator. I say starting. I don't know what the actual deal is. We'd have to talk to Nate. But in my mind, he's started this incubator where he's taking new comics under his wing, producing specials,
mentoring,
putting him on the show, on the podcast. I'm sure that they do some opening for him when he goes out to clubs and stuff like that. So Aaron is the first one who's had his first comic who's had his special produced by Nate. And I think that's really cool that he's coming on the show. So Aaron's going to be here in just a few minutes. Aaron is also part of the burgeoning Nashville comedy scene. And I'd like to ask why Nashville has all of a sudden become this kind of ground zero for really good comedy. But Nate being one of those, we just talked to Kathleen Madigan last week. Yeah. She's in Nashville. Ron White has been in and out of Nashville. Apparently it's like, you know how when Joe Rogan moved to Austin, all of a sudden, everybody, you know, had to move to Austin. Everyone was in Austin. Well, it turns out it just Elon moved to Austin, and now everybody else is moving to Nashville. I mean, I'm sure there's still lots of people who live in Austin.
Yeah, my family, for one.
Your family lives in Austin?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. What?
On my dad's side, yeah.
Oh, on your dad. Okay, like your extended
family.
My
aunt and some cousins are out there. My grandmother.
When you said your family, I felt like you were meaning like your dad. And I was like, your dad, when did your dad move to Austin?
No, he's close.
And why doesn't he invite us over?
There's an open invitation out to my dad's place.
He's on is he like the Village's Lake version over there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And enjoying retired life.
Why are we not going out there every weekend? I mean, we're almost there. You know what I'm saying? We're just a few short years away from being there. We might as well go there and, you know, make our presence known. We will be doing the commercial break from the Village's Lake version.
Yes.
Sooner rather than later.
From the clubhouse.
Yes. I want to get a vibe. You know, find the dealers.
It's a nice community.
Figure out which bars we can go to.
Exactly.
Because listen, I don't do a lot of drinking right now, but trust me, as soon as these kids leave the house, I'm back on the wagon. Yeah. I'm back off the wagon, actually. Yes. I'm falling right off. I'm going to be back to 13 Bud Lights a day because at that point, what do I fucking care? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I've done my job. I raised the kids. Mm-hmm. No more hangovers and children. If they call me and it's an emergency, it's somebody else's emergency at that point. So Nashville, quite the hot scene for up-and-coming comedians and established comedians. They have the Nashville Comedy Festival that is happening April 3rd through the 13th. Kevin Hart, Nikki Glaser, Mark Norman, Jim Jefferies, Wanda Sykes, all part.
Damn.
I know. That right in and of itself is like reason to travel to go see some of the most famous and popular comedians that are out there right now.
It's an easy drive up there. We could road trip it.
Hey, listen, I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to our agent. That sounds so douchey. I was talking to a person who works with the show. Our agent. I was talking to one of our agents, actually, and they were saying, you know, you really need to make it a habit of asking the comedians who come on the show to to give you tickets to the show so that you can go and, you know, build relationships and see what's going on and be on ground zero. And, you know, that should be one of the perks that you do. But I don't do that because that's doesn't feel really good to me. Ari Shaffir is like one of the only people who I actually felt comfortable asking. Yeah, and I didn't even have to ask, really. I just was texting him, and he was like, I'll get you tickets to the show. Don't worry about it. And he was very generous in that way. Thank you, Ari. Really appreciate it. But there are a lot of people who say, yeah, come see me when I'm in Atlanta. Yeah, come. But I don't want to feel like a douchebag and be like, Like, if I asked Veer Das for tickets to the Nashville Comedy Festival, I think he would be like, who?
Yeah.
Who? Who is that? You don't remember the commercial break? Oh, yeah. The worst interview I've ever done. Yes, I do remember the commercial break. And no, you cannot have tickets to my show.
I don't want to be associated.
Well, listen, you can hardly blame him. He's doing, yeah, 7 shows. That's crazy. He's doing 7 shows in one festival. But one of the things I did want to point out for those who do is Kid Rock's Comedy Jam will be during the Nashville Comedy Festival. So if you're interested in, you want me to see if I can get tickets to Kid Rock's Comedy Jam?
No.
I have zero interest in seeing Kid Rock's Comedy Jam. Well, first of all, I'm not into Kid Rock's music. So, you know.
Not anymore.
Well, I don't think I've really ever been
into. I went to a couple of concerts.
You did?
I liked it. Yeah, I liked it. And then, then I didn't.
I watched a video. And this video was like 2 hours long. And don't ask me why I watch. I have children and I don't know why I'm up till 3 a.m. watching videos like this.
I know. When meanwhile, I ask you, I'm like, you know, you really need to get into this show. You really need to get into that show. I don't have time.
No, I don't have time. I'm already telling you right now, I don't have time. It's not that I have the time. It's that sometimes I get sucked into something, you know? You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Like a good book. Only Brian's watching a live, like someone that was on YouTube live, you know what I'm saying? Like they recorded it and now it's living on YouTube forever. And I don't think he or she realized that it's going to live on YouTube forever. It's at Sturgis, the motorcycle rally.
Oh, yeah.
It's pouring down rain and it's 2 hours of 1 hour of him or her waiting for Kid Rock to come on the stage at the Buffalo Chip. And then an hour of Kid Rock on stage at the Buffalo Chip doing his thing. So I'm watching this and it's just like a fascinating look at humanity.
Yeah, it is.
As this person is like scanning around the audience, talking to random people, zooming in on boobs and butts and, you know, things like this. And it's dark and it's raining and it's muddy and everybody's kind of, you know, miserable, but drinking and trying to have a good time. And you watch as like the crowd just kind of thins out. And by the time Kid Rock gets up there, it's a really weird vibe because even though the first song he sings is Bow with a Bow or what about a bow with a bow to bang a bang ding a bing ding. The crowd is non-reactionary to any of it. They're not bouncing, they're not bow with a bowing, they're not doing anything. And Kid is out there in full furs jumping around the stage like a 3-year-old, you know, bow. And everybody's just like could be the rain. Could have been that looks a little chilly out there. Could be that it took a long time for him to get on stage. Because all I know is that when he was panning around the crowd and talking to certain people, or she, they kept talking about, people on the camera kept talking about when was Kid going to come on? Like, how long do we have to wait and all this other stuff? So, and that right there convinced me that I do not need to attend a Kid Rock concert anytime in the near future. It's not for me. It's just not. I watched it and I did it. And so why would you go, what in what
yeah I've
universe
been there done that
why did
I
you
liked
like
his, yeah years ago I liked his music.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. There's a guy I knew from Tampa. He worked at one of the Chili's that I worked at, and we would always go and get rowdy together, right? We'd go get a Kid's margarita, and one time went to Kid's margarita, like double Kid's margarita. We both got off at the afternoon shift, and so we were going to go hang out, go to the bar, party all night long. We went to his parents' house where he was living in this like bedroom community here in Atlanta, and his parents were out of town. And I'll never forget this beautiful house, beautiful living room, beautiful entertainment system. Like you couldn't touch a thing. It was like a museum, right?
Yeah.
And here we are, cutting lines on this glass table, and he puts in this CD. He's like, these guys are so big in Tampa. It's going to be the next big thing. You're never going to believe it. These guys are awesome. This is the best rock and roll I've ever heard in my entire life. And he puts on Bow with a Bow. He puts on Kid Rock.
Yeah.
First time I had ever heard it. I don't think it was anywhere on the radio. I think it was just like a CD that was floating around Tampa for some reason. I guess Tampa's where all this shit floats around. And I remember thinking to myself, yeah, that's not for me. You know, that's not my thing. These guys aren't going to go anywhere. And then Kid Rock becomes the biggest thing since sliced bread. There was a time. There was a time when Kid
there
Rock.
There was a moment in time.
Yeah, when you were like, oh, that's Kid Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't need to talk about Kid Rock. I'm going to talk about Aaron Weber. Aaron Weber's new specialty dish is on YouTube. The link is in the show notes. We'll put the link all week long. Aaron is also on the Nateland podcast. He, of course, does a lot of stand-up comedy. And so you can go to his website. I'll put the link there. And you can find out if he's coming to a city near you or if you're going to be in Nashville. I know he plays Zanies a lot. So you can check him out. Why don't we do this? And I'm going to press these buttons myself, Chrissy, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Why don't we do this? Let's take a short break. And then when we get back, through the magic of telepodcasting, Miss Hoadley, we are going to have Aaron right here with us. What do you think?
I think we should do it.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Aaron.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
And Aaron is with us now. Aaron, thank you very much for joining us from Nash Vegas, baby.
Hello, Aaron.
Thank you guys so much for having me, man.
Well, we are very grateful for your time today. You are making waves out there in the comedy community, I hear. Let me ask you this. Let me start off with this. I just watched on your Instagram, I watched something. Who's that guy who does Extra and Access Hollywood?
Mario Lopez.
Yes.
Mario Lopez was talking about you being taken under the wing of Nate Bargatze. So explain this relationship you have with Nate and what's going on there.
I don't know. It's more of a work relationship. I don't really like Nate. I don't really like his comedy.
Yeah.
No.
He's a has-been. Nate's a has-been.
If you're a comedian in Nashville especially, Nate is the guy, and he has been for a long time.
Yes.
So I'm very lucky to be in the same world as him, and he just happens to be the biggest comic in the world. So
it's crazy.
I've been a part of his universe, I guess you could call it, since 2020. I've been on the podcast with him every week, and then he was nice enough to produce my special, which came out a couple months ago. So Nate's been nothing but great to me from day one.
Nashville is all of a sudden becoming ground zero for up-and-coming comics. Let me give you a few names. Well, Kathleen Madigan on the show last week. She's golfing with Nate. I mean, everyone who comes on the show mentions Nate. Ari Shaffir is flying on private plane with Nate or having lunch with him. Nate's everywhere. So there's Nate, there's Brian Bates, Dusty Slay, Shonda Pierce, Evan Berkey, Mariana Barksdale, Allison Summers. They're all based in Nashville. It seems like Nashville has become quite hotbed of comedy. Give me your thoughts on why. Is it just a great place to live, great place to be based out of?
I think it all trickles down from the club here in Nashville.
Zanies
Comedy Club.
That's so fun.
They are so great to young comics, and they give you a lot of opportunities early. And they just opened up a second room. So there's a lot of really great stage time every night of the week. They really cultivate young talent and kind of believe in them before they believe in themselves. That's how they were for me. So it all stems down from that. And then, just having guys like all the people you mentioned stick around Nashville is huge. Because even when I started, the thinking was, you got to go to LA, you got to go to New York, you got to leave Nashville if you want to be successful in comedy. But these guys have stuck around and done everything out of here. So it's like, if I don't need to move, I'd like to raise a family here and continue to work out of here. So it's been great.
Yeah, we are in the South. You know, we're here in Atlanta. So we're in the Southeast. We're blessed to have Nashville just a, not a short drive, but a drive away.
Yeah, it's just up there. It's
Nashville like is lovely.
4 hours, yeah.
Yeah.
Nashville, yeah, it's not too bad once you get out of Atlanta traffic.
Exactly. It's an hour just to get out of downtown.
It's not, it gives me a headache just to think about it. And I work from home. And we're literally recording from my house. And I hate traffic. It's one of the decisions. We were talking about this when my kids go to school and we were trying to decide which school we were going to go to. They were going to go to. I was like, if it's not 10 minutes away from the house, I am going to have some kind of stroke because I can't deal with Atlanta traffic. Live here long enough and you'll understand. But Nashville also becoming
growing,
quite the crowd of
bursting
place.
At the seams.
Yep.
Is it like, is it pennies from, well, you have been on Nateland for, have you been on Nateland since the podcast started?
Yeah. So the original three, it was me, Nate, and Brian Bates. And we started, I think, July of 2020.
Okay.
The world was very different. We were just trying to find ways to keep doing comedy and, you know, yeah, I guess it's almost been 5 years.
That's crazy.
Pretty crazy.
That's crazy. When you go out in, and this is just a curiosity question, when you go out in public, especially in Nashville, do people recognize you from the podcast or from
only
your comedy?
A few places.
Okay, tell me.
I get recognized at the comedy club a bunch now.
Yeah.
It's at the airport. Uh-huh. Usually one or two people every time I'm there. And then at the minor league baseball park.
Oh, that's so fun. I love those games.
Now, if I go to the library or if I go to the, you know, the grocery store, I'm not getting recognized at all.
Yeah. Maybe you recognize it. They just don't. They're like, eh, what? Eh. You know, it's like here in
Nashville
Atlanta.
Nashville is used to seeing stars.
Yeah, Nashville's used to seeing stars. Here in Atlanta, we're so used to it being kind of a ground zero for production, you know, big studio productions.
Oh, yeah.
That you see famous people, you still get a little starry-eyed. But you know not to bother. You know enough not to bother them. Like asking for a selfie where they're living is probably not the best of ideas. So when you're at Zany's, I imagine that Zany's is a great place to groom your comedy because Nashville's such a great tourist place, right? And so they have the, you know, the it's famous for the bachelorette parties and the bachelor parties and a big party town. So you're constantly churning those new people are coming in and you're working with different crowds and different people from across the United States. Is do you feel like I want to be sure about how to say this. Your comedy, you're very funny, by the way. My wife and I watched your special.
Hilarious.
Was great.
Thank you.
The wolf urine, I was like doubled over.
Appreciate it.
So hard.
Do you?
But I think what you're asking is Zany's is a pretty good cross section. It's a good combination of tourists and locals.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think, I think they're pretty representative of, you know, comedy club crowds all across the country. Like comedians will come in from LA or New York and they'll ask, they'll go, what are the crowds like here? Are they pretty conservative, pretty liberal? Like, are they? And I go, there's a good mix of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're going to get a pretty good idea of how your material plays for most of America at a Zany's crowd for sure.
And that's what Kathleen was sharing with us. Kathleen was saying that, you know, there's certain parts of the United States of America that she feels more comfortable doing her brand of comedy, which is very Midwestern. It can be very blue. She's not afraid to use a few words here and there, you know, and that's just the comedy that she has. But she said that Nashville, because of the turn of the tourists and it's such a popular place to come, that there is kind of this sense that you're playing to the every crowd, right? You're learning how to cut your material. When you go out now, do you find it hard after your special that you've got to cut another hour? Are you getting ready for the next special?
Well, that was one of the really smart things Nate did for me was he told me to do a half hour special.
Yeah.
I was very confident. I came in, I was like, all right, I'm doing an hour on the road. Let's do an hour special. And Nate was like, who do you think you are?
Start there.
I mean, it's a lot to ask somebody to watch anything for an hour now.
True.
Let alone a comedian they've never heard of. So I'm hoping people see, oh, it's only 29 minutes and 30 seconds. I'll kill some time while I'm washing dishes. And then, and the other thing that did was it allowed me to, I wasn't starting from zero. back out on the road. I still had some material that I didn't do in the special that mm-hmm. I could start from. But then I had a baby between.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, I saw that in the Thank special. You were talking about you're about to have the baby.
Yes. So we were like right in the middle of it when I was yeah. recording that. So it's interesting watching back me talking about that during the special. I was like, oh, that guy had no idea.
Right. Yeah, you were just looking at the ultrasounds at that point.
Exactly. I had no idea what my life was going to be. And then I think 3 weeks later, after that was recorded, we had the baby. So between that and when I went back out on the road, I have a lot Ooh. More stuff to talk about. For sure.
Kids give you a whole line of material. I have 20 or 30. I don't know how many I yeah. have at this point. They're somewhere running around here. But they do give you a whole line of material. They always keep you on your feet. And at least for me, I'm always finding the humor in situations. You know, kids, you're right. When you're looking at the ultrasound, it's all shits and giggles. You're like
getting the room ready.
Of course, yeah. And you have some nerves. Yes. You're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? They don't come with instructions. You got to figure all this shit out. But when they come, you realize that you had no clue what was coming your way. It is an immense amount of drama thrown right at you, and you got to figure it all. It's like putting together IKEA furniture. You know, you got to figure it out, and the instructions are in a different language altogether. But I find that there is so much humor in raising children. And maybe as I get older, I'll find that it's not so funny when they're teenagers sneaking out of the house and getting arrested. Yeah. How are you feeling as a new dad? Are you embracing this role? Does it become tougher to go out there and do shows and be out late night?
Probably
as
a little sleep deprived yeah. a little bit.
Yeah, we're still figuring out the sleep stuff, and that feels like a very fluid situation.
It's so tough.
She's not really sticking to a schedule just yet.
How old is
we're figuring it out.
How old is
Yeah, the travel is different. I want to be home faster.
Sure.
I'm taking the early flights now. I'm taking the early flights home and the late flights out. So like that kind of stuff. We're still working on it. My wife's in comedy too. She's in this industry. She is a comedy club manager. So
perfect. Yeah.
But still it's a lot for sure.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine being out on the road. That's the one thing. And that's not the one thing. The fact that I'm not funny also has something to do with it. But that's one of the things that holds me back from going up on a stage on a regular basis is that I don't want to be away from my children. And I also know myself, I think if I got used to the traveling, I would actually like it. Mm-hmm. I'd probably be like, oh, I do want to be away from my children. Oh, wait, yeah, I changed my mind. Yeah.
I mean, I won't lie to you. It's fun.
Yeah, fun. Of course. Yes, of course.
But the more fun you're having, the more guilty you feel, yeah. right? So you're like, oh, geez.
That Catholic guilt mm-hmm. coming back at you.
I think it is. You know, I've never thought about it in those terms, but ever since you said that, I think that paints a lot of how I live my life, for sure.
You know, don't let Aaron fool you. He's a smart kid. He went to Notre Dame. How is that experience? Like, I don't know. I grew up in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame fans all throughout my family because we're a big Irish Catholic family. So there's, you know, I don't know. It's like a prerequisite that you have to like what Notre Dame. And
it kind of is, isn't it?
And in 1942, when I was a kid, it was some of the only college games on television were Notre Dame games. That was it. That was why Notre Dame was such a popular team is because ABC had this longstanding contract to show all of their games. Why Notre Dame? And how was that experience for you going from Alabama to Notre Dame?
It was great. So it was a bit of a family thing, like a lot of Notre Dame guys. My dad went there, my two older siblings, my aunt went there. I think at one point I had five first cousins there.
Oh,
no
wow.
way.
So it was a big family thing because we're a big Catholic family
yep.
from Alabama. So I loved it. I have no regrets. I'm still paying them a lot
yeah.
of money.
Yeah.
But, and you know, it's one of those things, it's like, I probably, if I knew I was going to do stand-up comedy, I could have just not.
You could have just not done that
stand-up.
Yeah.
So maybe that would have made more sense to do that. But I have no regrets. It was a great experience. I still am very close with a lot of the guys I met there. So I love it. I'm still a huge Notre Dame fan. It's fun to every football season reconnect with my old buddy.
Do you go up
we
to South
had a great
Bend
season this year? So
yeah, you did.
It's great, man.
Yeah, it feels like Notre Dame is back to the old the days of glory.
That
they had a great
cycles.
Season this year. Do you go up to South Bend and watch the games? Do you still go up there?
I try to. It's tougher now that I'm working every weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but there was a while there where I tried to go up for at least one or two games a year. And now I'm trying to find, I just booked my 10-year reunion last year.
Oh, nice.
Which was.
You're not that old. Are you really? Yeah, 10 years, huh?
Golly. Yeah. It's crazy to say, but the gig was terrible, but it was fun to be back on campus for a bit. Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Did you do the 10-year reunion? Did you
I did stand up.
You did stand up at your 10-year reunion?
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So now you got to tell us about this. So why was it terrible? It's just like a crowd full of drunk people who probably are not paying attention to what you're doing.
No, you know, I thought that that's what it would be.
Sure.
But the people were actually great. It was as if they found a list that I had made of everything to ensure a comedy show would go bad.
Terrible sound, terrible lighting. Yeah.
We were in, a hollowed out old hockey arena, huge room.
Oh my God.
I had a small stage with a podium. I mean, it was just like
a podium.
The worst setup imaginable for a stand-up show. But I think it was so bad that they kind of, the crowd even understood what an impossible setup it was.
Yeah.
So I ended up having fun, but it was like, if I come back and do this again, I'm going to have to make some demands.
Yes. Yeah, that was brave.
Behind a podium with the Notre Dame symbol in front of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to do some comedy.
There was a lot of pressure because you can imagine most of my Notre Dame friends are very successful. They have crazy careers now. I don't even understand what they do for a living. I mean, they're like, I'm a
hedge fund manager,
accountant for EY. I'm like, I don't even know what any of those words mean. and I'm like, well, this is what I've been doing for 10 years.
Yeah.
So I hope it goes well.
Yeah.
This is what I've been doing.
Yeah. Hey, I've been at Zany's for 10 years. You could go back to your EY, do your hedge fund manager. You go back to making your millions of dollars.
I'm out here making a real difference in the world. What are you doing?
That's
what
are you doing?
Oh my God, that is hilarious. The picture of you up there with the podium is actually pretty funny. And by the way, if you ever need somebody to drive you up to South Bend, like a DD, I'm happy to take you there. Just give me a ticket so I can get in the door. That's like the golden goose of fandom for a lot of my family is going to a Notre Dame game. And I'm like, then why did you never go to a Notre Dame game? Why didn't you just drive over to South Bend and go to a Notre Dame game? It's not that easy,
Brian. Tickets are available to anybody.
I know. That's what I keep telling my father, and he just didn't understand. He was like, well, I got to get tickets, and there's got hotel rooms. And I'm like, yeah, it's called travel, Dad. All you have to do is pick up the phone at delta.com.
I got a suitcase. I got a,
He paid like $4,000 to see the Cubs win the World Series, but you can't pay $40 to go see Notre Dame, your favorite team ever. It seems
that's pretty cool, though. I get that. That probably felt like a once in a lifetime thing.
Yes. And you know, I kicked myself I watched it here. I cried. I, as a lifelong diehard Cubs fan, I died every season. But when the tickets became $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, I also was on my way to my first child, and I just couldn't justify spending that kind of money on a Cubs ticket. I should have spent the money because
you're going to debt anyways.
I'm gonna go into debt anyways.
Yeah.
And you know what, does my kid really need another fucking speaking spell? He's got 12 of them. Like, he could have done without, you know. He doesn't even care.
You can reuse these diapers a bit. Really buckled down.
I told my wife,
spray them off,
cloth diapers. I'm gonna go see the Cubs. I'll talk to you later. I'll be back on Tuesday.
You know, I was raised on cloth diapers.
Yeah.
And the pictures of me as a baby, I look ridiculous.
It's so silly.
Enormous looking.
Yes.
With the big pens.
I mean, they look crazy.
Yeah. It's like, I was raised on cloth diapers. I still have a yeast infection. And there's like this service that comes and picks them up and cleans them for you. You know, there's like services you can get.
Yeah.
But it all just sounds so gross. I mean, we thought about cloth diapers because we thought it'll save us money. It'll treat the environment right. You know, you don't throw away all that trash.
But how much does a service cost?
Enough to not make it make sense. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not cheap enough that you go, oh, that clearly is a choice to be made here. It's like you can pay $100 every week for diapers or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
$100. Yeah, you're buying the diapers my wife's buying. We have to get the ones from Europe. They're dye-free. They're perfume-free. They don't smell. And I'm like, by the third child, we were buying the CVS brand shitters. You know what I'm saying? The crawlers.
Using trash bags.
Yeah, CVS crawlers. That's what they are. They're like those old Kroger bags. You just put them over them and let them run around. When you have the first kid, everything is so very important. You don't know what you're doing, so you don't want to make the mistake. By the time you get a couple of them, you realize that a lot of these choices that you're making are just, you're just setting up your eventual financial doom. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, I'll give you an example. There's, like, a consignment sale that goes on every 3 months here. And you'll learn this, Aaron, as your kid gets older. And you probably – are you going to have another one? Are you intending to have more?
We're not looking that far.
Yeah. You're like, one day at a time.
He's like, I haven't got
to get through the day.
Right. Yeah. One day at a time.
I haven't slept in 2 months, Brian. I'm not looking to do anything. But, you know, there's this consignment sale. You take your stuff, and it's huge. There's, like, thousands of people that go and hundreds of people that put their stuff, their kids'
That's
stuff,
great.
Out there. And so we went, you know, my wife asked her, she puts all this stuff, all this old baby stuff, and she takes it to the consignment sale so we can get back a little bit of money. And I'm thinking to myself, that's really smart, hon. That's really smart. But then I think a step further and I go, if we were really fucking smart, we would have gone to the consignment sale to buy all this shit in the first place. The kid does not know the difference.
No, and they grow so fast.
Yeah, they really
That's the other thing. I splurged on some, like, they have these magnetic Mii's. I don't know if you've seen
those.
Yeah.
They're like the onesies with the magnets on them.
Yep.
And it is so convenient.
It's lovely.
Like, let's get a bunch of these. And then, yeah, she's in a new size.
Right. I know. Yeah.
That's waiting until she starts wearing shoes. And how old is she now?
5 months now.
Five months old. Oh, such a wonderful age. Because they're still a little mushy, but now they can hold their own heads, you know? But they're still a little mushy. Go on as many dates as you can right now, Aaron. I'm just sharing that with you right now. Take the kid, go on dates, because you get another 6 months into it, and it's going to be a whole different situation.
Everything changes.
Everything changes. Say, yeah. I love this bit that you did on Instagram. I was watching it a couple days ago about the cold showers. Your friends are who are taking, like, you know, the cold showers, cold plunges and stuff like
We've
that.
We've talked about that
We've
before.
Talked about this so much on this show, and I have to agree with you 1,000%. I don't know what the point is in purposefully torturing yourself to make you more, I don't know, stronger, more intelligent, healthier. I'm not sure what the point is, but there is nothing about a cold shower that
feels... Just say
feels,
you did it.
Yeah,
like
just
you
say
said,
you did it. Like yeah, you- just say you did it.
Yeah, in the bit, it's a buddy of mine said the fact that I couldn't do a cold shower meant my mind is weak.
Right.
And I was like, I was thinking about it, and I was like, no, my mind is so strong that I can't convince it I have to do this.
Exactly.
I love it. Have you ever done that? What is the trend besides cold showers that you refuse to do? Like, I'm not one of the things that all my friends are into is the Wim Hof. So they will go out on a cold day and they'll do the Wim Hof breathing.
Wim Hof?
Wim Hof is a type of breath work. And I'm like, listen, I've been breathing just fine.
Isn't Wim Hof a dude?
Yeah, he's a dude. And they call it the Wim Hof breathing method. And the guy is still alive. He's the guy who started all of this cold plunge, cold air, hot, you know, train your brain to not be cold kind of shit. I'm just like, I told my friend Rafa, I said, Rafa, I've been breathing just fine for 40 plus years. I don't need any Wim Hof.
Yeah, I don't know if I've embraced any of these. And I've tried a few of them. Yeah. I remember I went through like an apple cider vinegar.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember what I was told it would do.
Everything.
But I was like,
it does everything.
Right,
anything that's wrong with you.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Anything that's wrong with you.
Yeah. Mostly I'm just eating Tums now and just praying for the best.
There you go.
Colloidal silver, I think, is my favorite. The colloidal silver phase.
Oh, wow. People... I just watched a documentary about that.
Did you watch that, the lady, about the lady?
Yes,
I am
the
God.
The woman that said she was God.
Yeah, yes. I am God or
and
whatever
she
it is.
Died of an overdose on that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. And she was blue. in the movie, they show that picture of her. That young lady had turned blue. Blue is.
Yeah, I could get into that. I could see myself doing that.
That's when you'd laugh.
I had this friend, and I call him. He was a friend until he went. He just went way off the deep end. And listen, if he ever came back from the deep end, I don't even know if he's still alive. Who knows? But during the pandemic, when we all started our podcast, the guy has like multiple diseases at birth. So problems with his legs, problem with his arms, born blind, has problems hearing. He's a really sickly kind of person. He's had hundreds of surgeries, but he claimed that colloidal silver was making him the healthiest person in the world. And I'm like, dude, you just had a surgery on Tuesday and then one last Thursday, and you think colloidal silver is solving any of these problems? But we started to notice in some of his Facebook pictures, he was looking blue. And I was, I wrote him a note. I said, dude, I think that colloidal silver. And he said, don't talk about my colloidal silver. It's keeping me healthy. I thought, well, okay, to each their own. As you go and you tour around with, tell me about your favorite place to play to do stand-up comedy. I'm always interested in this question with all the stand-up comics. What's your favorite place?
You know what I'm learning is, and I'm not there yet, but it's like if you sell tickets and your fans are coming, pretty much everywhere.
Exactly.
You know, but I'm not there yet, so I'm still. My crowds are still largely a function of where I am.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there are a few clubs that stand out. I mean, Zany's is great, but if I were to get on the road, it's the Comedy Works in Denver. Everybody talks about that as one of the best comedy clubs in the country.
We've heard that a couple times.
Yeah, there's a few others. It's like, I'm trying to think. There are parts of the country that I think
Which parts of the country do you like to visit?
Northwest Arkansas.
Really?
Is such a hidden gem. Yeah, the Ozarks. I think a lot of people, because of the show Ozark, got onto it.
Uh-huh.
But it's awesome out there. Beautiful scenery. It's the rolling hills. It's where Walmart is headquartered. Yeah, there's a lot of money out there.
Yeah.
It's a surprisingly nice, affluent part of the country. And I love it. There's a comedy club called The Grove. It's in Lowell, Arkansas. It's a town most people have never heard of, but I love it out there.
Nice.
So that surprises people when I tell them that. And then Florida and Texas, there's just so many comedy clubs there, so many different places. I'll go wherever. I mean, I was just in Ketchikan, Alaska.
Oh, geez. No way.
Comedy will bring you weird places.
Yeah, that Gianmarco Soros
country. Ketchikan, interestingly, it was the salmon capital of the country, but it was the, it was, I'm trying to figure out the best way to say this. It was a brothel town.
Oh.
It was where all these salmon fishermen would come off the sea and then they'd
go to the ladies in the night.
Exactly. In Ketchikan. So I did a show there at what used to be a brothel and I loved it.
That's
and I can't wait to get back to Alaska.
I bet that was beautiful too. I've seen
it's great up there.
Obviously.
Yeah. Me and my wife did our honeymoon in Alaska.
Oh, you did?
Oh, you did.
Wow.
Yeah. We just want to do something different. Mm-hmm. I'm not a beach guy. I don't have the body for it. So.
Neither do I, but I suffer because I can't stand the cold weather. But where did you guys go in Alaska? That is a different honeymoon.
That's fun. Yeah.
You don't hear about too many people.
We went all over. We took started in Anchorage, and then we took the Alaskan Railroad up
to the
middle
of the state. But Alaska's so big, it's like we barely scratched the surface of it. So we're hoping at some point to go back and fill in some of those places we missed.
That's so cool. I love that you guys did a train ride too. I love trains and obsessed with like
it's
trying
the
to
last
take trains.
Whistle stop train in America.
I think actually. I saw a documentary about this. Yeah.
Yeah. So as you're riding through the wilderness, I mean you don't see anything. Mm-hmm. Every now and then the train will come to a stop because a homesteader.
Yeah, like somebody's Alaskan, out there.
Yes, they come and just flag the train down to ride into the city. So that was more interesting than seeing like moose or bears. To see like Alaskan wilderness people come out of the trees and, and flag the train down.
That is
Now I saw a documentary about it. Yeah, it looked really cool.
I had a friend who 2 years ago, he invited, maybe it was 3 years ago, maybe it was like during the, while everyone was kind of locked down. he called me, and he is a huge car enthusiast, and he'll buy and sell cars. He'll drive all over to pick up cars and all this stuff, but he's a big Jeep enthusiast. That's mm-hmm. like, you know, he's got these group of friends that love their Jeeps, and he lives in the wilderness of Utah. He's a rancher. He's wow. like a true cowboy, right? A real life cowboy who also owns a hedge fund. But anyway, he's a real life cowboy.
Yeah.
So he calls me up and he says, me and my friends are planning this thing. If you want to come, you can hop in the car with me. We are going to go to White Horse, Alaska, the very last road, the most north you can drive on an actual road in the United States of America, or really on the continent wow. of North America. Mm-hmm. So you go all the way up there, and there's a hotel, but it's not really a hotel. It's more like two trailers put together, and then you get a room if you're lucky. And we're going to spend the night in the Jeeps as we go along. We're just going to, you know, do all this other stuff. It took him like 15 days to drive up there. He sent me pictures. Obviously, I didn't go because I said, I don't have hair on my chest yet, and I'm not quite a man. I would much prefer the guy at the Marriott bring me a cocktail than going out in the wilderness. But he shared with me that, you know, sometimes you get up there and there's the Native people will flag you, or people who live up there
yeah.
will flag you down and ask you for a ride to the next town, because of course you can't just walk to the next town mm-hmm. in a lot yeah. of cases. And it's almost, you'd almost be a dick not to. You'd be
yeah,
like, you know,
culture.
That's the way, it's the culture that's out there. And that's fascinating.
Yeah, I'm not going to leave you in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's, you know, 17 feet of snow, minus 12, and I'm going to yeah. drive by you when I'm the only car you'll see in the next week. And that's fascinating that you can flag down a train
yeah,
like that. Can
I
you
saw
imagine?
That.
It's so different out there. We stayed one night at a little town that had no government. They said that their mayor was a cat. Hung out at the local pub.
Nice.
No police force, no yeah. firefighters, no cops, nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. And we asked one of the guys that lived there, we were like, well, what happens if somebody lights your car on fire?
Yeah, commits a crime.
And he goes, we would handle it.
Oh,
we deal with it.
Okay.
And I was like, all right. But that's the appeal to
yeah.
a lot of these people is they flee. From wherever they live, and they move up there, and mm-hmm. they go, I just want to handle things on my own.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah,
so
I get the appeal of that. That being said, I do like having a fire department.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I like having a police force, a hospital, yes. a grocery store.
Yes. Yeah. I do like room service every once in a while. It's a weakness of mine. You know, I can be a little pampered.
It just feels fun.
It does feel fun. All right. So I want to ask you a question about your brand of comedy. I just recently got into Nate with his latest special. I mean, I've known of Nate and, you know, followed him on Instagram and watched some of the clips that come through and stuff like that. But I was really convinced when I watched that most recent special. It was so funny and so well done. And my wife has been in love with Nate for a while. It's a clean comedy. It's a clean brand. Mm-hmm. You could sit. I mean, I don't know the children would understand everything, but I wouldn't be afraid to have them in the room while they do that. And there are lots of comics that we have on the show where I would never let my children listen to that. I think, from what I've seen, you tend to have that kind of clean brand of comedy. Is there a reason why? Do you make that? Is that a conscious choice that you're making? Or is it just, I prefer not to work blue? What's the...
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't like I sat down and was like, all right, I need to be a clean comedian.
Sure.
It's just kind of a function of how I was raised and the style of comedy that I like.
Yeah.
So I truly don't think about it for myself much anymore. I had a buddy tell me once, he's like, I can never do clean comedy because I got into comedy to say what I want to say. And I was like, all right, but I am saying everything I want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like I have a desire to talk about different stuff. It's just kind of how I am. And Nate, I think Nate is kind of the same way. And you nailed it with what you just said, where the way I describe Nate Land and kind of the world of comedy that we're creating is it's not for kids, but I think people want stuff that you can just have on and not mm-hmm. worry about kids overhearing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Sure.
And I think even in Nate's last special, something really interesting that you don't see very often in a mainstream Netflix special is in the front row of that show, there's somebody in like their 70s, and then there's like an 11-year-old.
That's right. You're right. Sitting. Yeah. It's
so that's kind of cool, and that's unique, and I don't think a lot of people are doing that. Now, a lot of my friends, even guys that I have open for me, when they're on their own, they're letting loose, dude. They're talking about crazy stuff. But when they're with me, they kind of reel it in. And even some of my favorite comedians are wild on stage. But it's just kind of how I am, kind of how I was brought up, and just the comedy that I like doing.
Yeah, we've had this conversation with a couple of comics before. I don't, like, there's no conversation in my head about which flavor of comedy I like. Whatever I find funny, like, I find, you know, your special was funny. Nate's special was extraordinarily well done. It was really funny. But then I also find
like
some
Kelsey
of them.
Kelsey Cook.
Like, you know, Kelsey Cook.
Yeah,
she, you know, she can turn it on a dime. She seems very innocent, but then she turns it on a dime. And then there are people that are even more extreme than that. You know, it's George Carlin, right? One of my favorites, but he was more of a commentarian. And I think the words that he used were often picked specifically because they would open up your ears. Like, in other words, I think he was using the language as a tool. I think there are some comedians. Maybe even like us sometimes, like, dick jokes are the lowest form of comedy, but they do get a laugh. And sometimes that's what you throw in, right? That's the way that it goes. But I don't purposely, it's like a musician picks up a guitar and they lean toward playing the blues or playing jazz or whatever it is. It's just whatever feels good to you. And I think it could be done to great effect either way. I don't think I fall one way or the other on what I like or what I would prefer. I think you do it very well.
And the biggest compliment that I get is that people don't even notice it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
I didn't.
And I get told that, I'm go, well, that's really good, because clean comedy does have a connotation. And I think it's earned in a lot of ways that it's hokey kind of dad jokes,
right?
Maybe like lame puns, like Laffy Taffy jokes.
Yeah.
Like, and there are guys doing that.
There are. Right? Yes.
So the biggest compliment I get is I'll work with a comic, and then like at the end of the week or something, they'll go, I just noticed you were clean. And I go, well, that's great.
That is good.
I don't want it to be. I specifically tell clubs, I go, like, don't put like clean comedy night or something like that. If people know me, they know that it's clean. But I want anybody to just come and they won't even notice it.
It's true.
If they don't know I'm clean, they'll just enjoy the show and we'll do that.
You are funny. You are funny. There's no doubt about it. And I don't think of it as like that hokey kind of, listen, you're not a ventriloquist, right? You do a really good job and you use your comedy to great effect. And you're right about this, is that you don't leave this most recent special. You don't leave it going, oh, that was a half hour of clean comedy. You say that was a really good half hour of comedy.
Yeah.
And Nate did make a smart choice there, now that I think about it. And let me explain why. Because Astrid goes, I'm going to watch Aaron's special. And she's the busiest person I know. She's got 12 to 13 children, a job, and all this other stuff. And she was able to fit it in. And when she was done, she was like, that was really funny. He's really funny.
It is. Everybody should go listen to it. Watch.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'm hoping it's way better for people to go, that felt short, than they go, that was a little long.
Yeah, totally agree. Yes, totally agree. Because also, And now I'm thinking about, like, I'm coming to this realization as we're talking. That's really smart. Like, if you want an introduction to a to a comic, a reel is too short. A reel is just one joke. A reel is a setup and a punchline.
True.
But 30 minutes is extraordinarily digestible. And do you really want to make an hour-long commitment with someone that you maybe have never heard before?
I don't.
Nope. I don't have that kind of time. I really don't. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's two ways that I get introduced to comedy. That's either on social media, you know, new comics. And it's going to take me more than one reel to follow somebody, right? One reel. Okay. Yeah. I might heart it. It's going to take more than one reel. But the other way that I get introduced is they're coming on the show and I want to watch some of their material. But if I had to, like, if an hour of someone that I didn't know popped up on Netflix, I don't think I'd commit the time because I'm just like, I'm too busy. I got to watch, you know.
Exactly.
90 Day Fiancé.
And I'm very aware of, like, if most people had came in blind, even fans of the podcast were like, I'd never seen Aaron stand up.
Yeah.
So they're coming into it with, I don't want to be committing to a whole day of this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You get to a certain point, Nate, Dusty, and guys like that, where people will go, oh, okay, I'm sitting down, I'm going to make a night out of it, right? So, God willing, I'll get to that point one day, but I'm very aware that this is my first thing that people can see, so I want it to be as accessible as possible.
Do you feel like the momentum is in your favor? Are you feeling the momentum building?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a good year so far. So I'm hoping that continues.
But
I think a lot of it, I'm going to be able to tell when I come back to some cities
that
I haven't been to in a while since the special comes out. So I'll be able to have like hard data and see. But yeah, I would say it feels like things are going in the right direction. Comedy's such a long game, dude. And,
sure
and I knew that going into it. I was like, you know, starting out, I go, it's going to be a long time before anybody cares that I do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it did take a while, and I'm still working at it. So, you know, I've always went into it with the perspective of this might take 15, 20 years mm-hmm. before things get moving. So, you know, if you enjoy the process and you just keep doing it, which I have been, it's all good.
You can only get better. And when you've got mentors around you that are doing this at the highest level, you can only learn more. You can only get sharper. You can only, you know, you're in an incubator of great comedy. Yeah. And so, and you're also a part of that incubator of great comedy. So it's like everyone's just sharing and you guys are making each other better. All of these comedians in Nashville and Nate Land, you know, being around and with Nate, I think that's really great. And I do sense the momentum building for you. You've got a great 30-minute special. And you have been doing this for a while. You are the youngest comedian ever, the Grand Ole Opry. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I haven't done a ton of research to confirm that, but
that sounds
nobody's
good.
Corrected me.
I checked it in three separate places, including Chatty GPT. I said, Chatty, tell me the truth here. But then he says, no one's going to commit a day to my comedy. Well, yes or no, you were part of the Guinness Book of World Record longest comedy show ever, longest live comedy show ever. Was that you?
Yeah, I was part of the second iteration of that.
Tell me what this is. Yeah.
They did, I'm trying to remember. God, it feels like a lifetime ago. This was pre-COVID. But
that's a whole different world.
It was spearheaded by a guy named Chad Ryden, and he wanted to break the record for the longest continuous stand-up comedy show, which at the time was set by the Laugh Factory in L.A., and I think it was like 5 days, and they wanted to double it.
God.
So they did 10 straight days.
10 days, 24 hours. Comedy.
24 hours. I mean, I did sets at 3:30 in the morning.
Jeez.
8 a.m. I would leave. I still had a full-time job at that point. So I would leave work for my lunch break and go do a set and then come back.
Oh, my God.
So that was a really cool,
unique
thing for sure.
To be in the Guinness Book of World Records is a very, very cool thing.
Mm.
I don't know. Were you, when you were a kid, did you ever get the Guinness Book of World Records and read through it? Yeah. It was one of my favorite
things.
Longest
fingernails. And all that
yeah.
Stuff.
Tallest man. Yes.
Longest hair. Yeah. Dirtiest human. Shortest. Tallest.
It was a thick book now that I think about it.
It was a thick book. Yeah. These are the things I think about with my children. Like, my children will likely never watch a commercial if they don't want to, right? That's just the life that they're going to live in. As a kid, I couldn't fast forward through commercials.
No.
So we watched them. That we were indoctrinated by McDonald's and toy companies and Mattel and cereal boxes and all that other stuff. But the other thing I think about is that my children, even though they love books now, they will never have the joy of Encyclopedia Britannica, holding one of those and flipping through it and, you know, I don't know, coming upon a naked...
Yeah, you can't browse for anything anymore.
Yeah.
You have to, like, look for something specific.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's so funny you mentioned that. My wife's cousin, I was just talking to him, and he told me that his kid was watching a TV show on his tablet or something, and a commercial came on, and he thought it was broken. He was like, well, something's wrong.
Right.
It's not exactly what I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, it's just so different from how totally.
It's insane.
Stuff.
And you don't know this yet, but wait until your young lady gets maybe like another year. And the first time that they pick up a phone or a tablet and with intention, all of my children, it's as if it's in our DNA now. They understood intuitively how to move around the phone. They were scrolling. They were moving. It blew me away. I was like, that is insane. How did you learn that?
Oh, I know.
It's probably from watching us, right? But the fact that they picked it up and understood it so intuitively the very first time. We watched this with all of our children, and it was scary almost.
Well, have you seen, I saw a video about this, where all of our, or at least everybody I've shown this to, our right pinky is a little bent now.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the how holding you hold the phone. Yeah, it's like it's
no
slight,
shit.
But you can see.
Yep,
a little indentation in your in
yeah,
your right
I can
pinky.
Totally see
so
that.
So you're like, oh,
yeah, that's not
crazy.
On my left. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, our bodies are
adapting. Yeah, I'm getting yeah. that Herdinger's hump or whatever
oh, right,
it is from
hump. Yeah.
looking down. Yeah. Tech neck. That's right. Tech neck. Yep. Yeah. My wife and I, well, I won't get into all the details, but we were doing something and she was like, what is that on your back? And she, because of that little bump is pointing out a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I'm always like this. I got to get away from this microphone. When are we done with this show? How many more thousands of episodes are we contractually obligated to
lot.
Do?
A lot.
Okay. All right. Well, I will consider this one of the better ones
yes,
because, Aaron, you are wonderful. Aaron's brand new special is out now. I'm going to put a link in
YouTube.
The show notes on YouTube.
Awesome.
I'm going to put a link in the show notes. Aaron, of course, is always. Are you coming to Atlanta anytime soon? Do you do Atlanta a lot?
I'm going to be out there in October, it looks like.
Oh,
so
nice.
Keep an
okay.
eye out. I'll be out there.
Yeah,
we will
for
come.
Sure.
When you, we like to support the comics that come on the show, so we'll make our
awesome.
Best effort to come out there. You can, I'll put all the links in the show notes, and that way, if anybody's close to where Aaron is going to be doing a set of comedy, I would highly suggest you go see it. He's really great. It was a very funny 30 minutes. Instagram is wonderful. I'll put a link to that also. And of course, you can always
Excellent.
Catch him on Nate Land, one of the more popular comedy podcasts out there. And we're not. So go check them out and listen to better comedy over there. Yeah, only aspire to. We can only aspire to Nate. Well, I mean, I can understand why. Funny? Not funny. Which one do you want to listen to?
Oh,
no, I'm kidding.
On.
I'm kidding. It's that Irish
great.
Catholic
Thank you all
guilt.
So much for having me. It was great to meet you. Great talking
you
with
too.
You. And yeah, hopefully when I'm out there in Atlanta, we'll meet up in person.
We Let's would love that, Aaron. Stay in touch. Aaron Weber, everybody. Links in the show notes. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank y'all.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
Well, there you have it, Mr. Aaron Weber from the Nate Borgatti clan, if you don't mind, if that's what we're going to call them. He is a super nice guy.
Oh, my God. I love talking
Notre
to him.
Notre Dame. There you go. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever met anyone that graduated from Notre Dame, that went to Notre Dame. Have you?
No, I don't
no,
think so.
No, I don't think so. I think that's my first, because I don't run in those kind of circles. The circles I run in, it's like, I went to DeVry. I graduated from DeVry. And if you think I'm kidding, I'm not. I know people who have graduated from DeVry. And they've gone on to be very successful, by the way. But not like, you know, Notre Dame level successful. You know,
yeah, I loved his story about the podium. How he was at the podium
is,
doing his comedy.
Yes, that is one of the funniest things that I have heard in a long time. I just imagine him. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm playing with something over here. Don't mind Brian. He's okay, there you go. Yeah, I got this whole new setup and I'm trying to figure it out. But Aaron was a very nice guy and he's on Nateland, the podcast, which we are constantly, seems like us and Nateland just fighting back and forth for positions on charts. I'm sure they have so many more listeners than
yeah.
we do. They're actually funny.
Yes.
I saw an episode where it was Brian, Nate, Dusty, Slay, and Aaron, all four of them sitting in a room together. And just like the 10 minutes that I caught was so fucking
funny.
Yeah. And I thought to myself, To be funny. To have a podcast.
That's what it looks like.
Funny. That's what it looks like. His brand new special, now available on YouTube. Specialty Dish, link in the show notes.
Tickets. Nice and digestible, 30 minutes.
30 minutes, easy breezy. We talked about it a couple times during the interview, and it really is true. I think that was a right choice. I think about that was a choice that was made by Nate, the production team, and Aaron, the more I think that was a smart move. Because you can eat up 30 minutes, no problem. That's a car ride. That's work. That's a drive to work. Mm-hmm. I don't suggest you watch YouTube while you're driving to work, but, you know, I've seen stupider shit.
You can listen to it through the car.
Yeah, that's true. Although Aaron is not, like, he's not an extremely physical comedian that I've noticed, right, of the things I've seen of him. But I will tell you that there are some, like, some of his facial expressions, I think, do make the jokes a little bit funnier. So, anyway, there's a link in the show notes. You go check it out. Listen to it. Watch it. Nateland, the podcast, have been a staple of the comedy podcast world for the last 5 years, just like the commercial. Thank you to Aaron. We really appreciate your time. And, check him out. Okay. Also, you can check us out if you'd like to. Somehow, some way, maybe on the website, go to tcbpodcast.com. That's where you find more information about Chrissy and I. All the audio, all the video right there from one location. No muss, no fuss. It's we're URLing it. Go to that URL, tcbpodcast.com. You can also get your free swag if you would like your free TCB sticker or whatever it is that we have available. We'll send it to you. Go to the contact us button, drop down menu. I want my free sticker. Give us your address, and away it will go. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas, we take them all right there at that phone number. Also, you can leave a voicemail and be the next voice on the commercial break. We'd love to hear from you, and a number of people have done it, and I really appreciate it. Make it short, make it sweet, tell me a story, say something funny, say something nice, say something mean, whatever you want to do. Leave it on that voicemail. At the commercial break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok, and YouTube.com/TheCommercialBreak. Every episode, the same day it airs here on the audio feed. Okie dokie, Chrissy. I guess that's all I can do for right now.
Okay, Smokey Pokey.
But I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say, goodbye.